repeat everything I say as I right after I say it. Unpause it.
Is on
Google.
Millennium Falcon.
Not on the Millennium Falcon.
This is Unpause It, a podcast by a family of geeks.
I'm Lady Disdain, and I'm 43 years old.
I am Sauce Underscore, and I am 11.
Underscore, the dad of eyes, 41.
I'm Furious Girl, and I am 9.
So, welcome to the basement. How y'all doing?
Hi.
This is the cave.
I'm a fish.
It is the cave. Willis is the sauce is persisting to say that he's a fish. Why
is
that?
I am a fish.
Why?
Is this the unpleasant cave? I'm not worried about him being a fish. They just won an Oscar for being a fish, so he can actually do well for things like that.
Okay.
So is this the unposit basement or the unposit cave?
Cave. It's a cave. As you can see, it's only pictures.
Let me do a Snapchat really quick about this. Hold on.
Oh, come on.
So right now we're debating if this is a basement or a cave.
It's a cave. It's a total cave.
But why
it's
is dirty. It a cave?
Because Dad just said it's dirty.
I think since none of you pay the mortgage, we're going to call it the unpleasant basement.
I want to know who's driving this thing.
Me and my father, mostly because my father likes this movie.
I do like this movie.
My father.
So.
You're both fathers.
My father.
So, is this a co-driven? So, you guys are going to drive kind of together?
Co-driving. That's right. We both have opinions and things about this movie.
But George
is going to take
both. Okay, that's fine. Wow, that's just how kids deal with it.
Welcome to the Unpause It podcast for the movie.
First thing we do is Stanley Cameo.
We are talking about Ant-Man, released July 17th. 2015, so you are correct.
Hey! I thought you said June 17th, which would have been,
July
17th. A nice date for you.
2015, directed by Peyton Reed. Not Joss Whedon. Peyton Reed does a lot of comedy. Obviously, with this movie, it's hilarious.
It is.
It's not Thor Ragnarok funny, and it's not Guardians of the Galaxy funny. It's a heist film, but it's a comedy heist film. It's a lot of lines of, say, Ocean's 11 was, where it was kind of trying to be serious, but just funny tongue-in-cheek kind of stuff. That's kind of how this
It's very much like out. Ocean's 11.
Writers, Edgar Wright, one of the better pop culture nerd writers that we have around here. Screenplay and Joe Cornish, several good writers. So this was well-written. You can tell by the lines that everyone was doing. It stars Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd plays Ant-Man.
China.
He plays Scott Lang.
Who is Michael Douglas? Dr. China. Hank Pym. And then Evangeline Lilly is Hope Van Dyne.
Huh?
Now, why is Hope Van Dyne's last name Van Dyne and not Hope Pym?
Was that her mom's name?
Or was she married and divorced?
Okay, I have an idea.
Huh.
She just thought the name was interesting and changed it because she hates her dad.
That could be a possibility.
Any of the above could have happened.
Oh
yes.
My god!
We've got Anthony Mackie as Falcon. We've got T.I. as Dave.
Yeah!
We've got Haley Atwell and.
Yeah.
John Slattery returning, as Howard Stark and Peggy Carter
Trevor
in
Slattery.
The Triskelion that was being developed. And we see, this is spoilers, we see that Mitchell Carson, the guy who Michael Douglas broke his nose first thing in the movie, which was amazing.
How's your face?
Was Hydra.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's like Peggy and, Stark were like oblivious to it. It's like, what?
Yep.
So, but those are the movie specs. We have Ant-Man. Peyton Reed, director. He's also directing Ant-Man and the Wasp.
You mentioned one of the kind of three sidekick people. Who are the other two?
We have David.
Are you trying?
Spanish Mexican guy.
Spell it. Dast Alshian.
Wow, that's enough.
Yeah, he's the one that is. He's from America and he plays a Russian. So.
Oh yeah, he's the one that we. Yeah, he's the one that we know is from The Dark Knight. He's the guy who's the schizophrenic that Two-Face.
That Two-Face kidnaps that the Joker turns
into.
Yeah,
but I remember him from that. But he's in this.
Yeah, so he was in The Dark Knight. We will talk about this, I think, in our post-Infinity War wrap-up of Season 1 on Posit. This is all owes its success to the success of The Dark Knight and that trilogy.
Success,
because
yes.
the well-received critical acclaim of that allowed this to become mainstream.
Yeah.
But Michael Peña, who steals the movie.
He's really good.
They changed some of the movie, and he has all these flashbacks. Oh, you know, too many details. So, yeah, those are the three psychics on there, the imbeciles, or whatever he calls them. Hank Pym does.
Kind of like the Warriors Three.
Oh, and remember, Hank Pym actually just tried to explain the science of the suit, and they fell asleep instantly. That was Hope. That's what Hope said, but
yeah, Hope said that.
Hank Pym. Okay, Stanley cameo.
All right.
Stanley cameo, because now, let's preface this. The Stanley cameo is at the end.
It is.
No!
It's right at the end.
Okay, so we're starting with the end of the movie, which is fine. In a movie like this, we start at the end. He's a guy that's the size of an ant that can punch and...
Not Stan Lee. You're talking about Ant-Man.
Right?
We're
talking about the Stanley cameo in a movie about a guy that can shrink down to the size of an ant.
And, one punch can be a bullet to the nose.
That's right. So,
I go first. It's 18 out of 27.
Can you describe the Stanley cameo?
No. It's out of 10. Come on.
What's the Stanley? No, wait. Back up. What is the Stanley cameo? What is he saying?
The Stanley cameo is, what does he say?
Crazy, stupid, fine.
He's a bartender.
So that's one of the things we're talking about with Michael Peña is the flashback scenes where he's recounting what was happening, and they had the actors then do his version of it, which wasn't originally the plan, but he was doing so well. They put that in there during the production.
You know what it was like? And this, all the adults hopefully will get this. It's like Drunk History. It's like someone is doing a voiceover and the actors in it who are acting out what they're describing are basically just lip syncing to that voiceover. And it's hilarious.
For you kids, what? All you listening at home, sit down by the fire, listen to your uncle to dad advice. Drunk History is a really funny comedy show taking some historical facts, getting a celebrity inebriated on the libation of their choice, and then reading a script about the historical facts.
Yes.
It's hilarious.
And it is. It's actors, for some of them very well known, who are basically lip-syncing what they're saying, and it's very funny. But that's what that made me think of.
Cool.
Stan Lee was saying in that voiceover, the second we've seen the movie, and it's within the last 5 minutes, and it's like he's playing this bartender, and he's like, this other guy says, hey, see that? Isn't that girl I'm with? Is she crazy, stupid, fine? And Stanley goes, yeah, crazy, stupid, fine.
No,
and it's all Luis's voice doing it.
Okay. Yeah. You have to say it like Stanley said it. Crazy.
Okay. That's how Luis says it. Okay. So now after the Stanley cameo, the Stanley cameo, we will go on to what? But what is your thoughts? She's rated 18 out of 27.
So what is it out of 10 then? Give us an out of 10.
I don't know.
Well, do the math. Let's go.
7.
If 18 out of 27, that's over half, I think. It's not very much. It'd probably be more like a 5.5 out of 10.
Yeah, exactly. Did you like it or not like it? We don't know what 18 out of 27 means.
It was a half.
Okay.
Okay, so it's 5 out of 10.
All right. You tell us who's next to rate that thing.
The fish. Okay, so I rated it.
Did you like it or not like it?
8.7 out of 10.
You liked it.
Good.
I liked it. I thought it was 10. A 10. It was directly. We're co-driving, so I'm going next, and then I'm going to take the next thing. I give it a 10 out of 10 because it was so good. It was the perfect Stanley cameo where he's saying something but it's not him and he's just like, oh, where's Stanley? Oh, there he is.
Yep.
It's awesome.
I also give it a 10 out of 10. I couldn't. There's nothing wrong with it. It's hilarious. Right. It's like, there he is.
And it's at a great part and it's, you know, it actually teases Spider-Man in the Marvel Universe because when this was being produced, Homecoming and Spider-Man and Civil War wasn't exactly 100% announced and known.
Mm-hmm.
So, kind of cool things there. We're going to go on to some of our favorite lines.
Ooh.
Because this is what we're doing. Because Luis, this movie had some great lines.
And
had some
movies,
great
and
moments
scenes.
And scenes that were just, and all ties together. We're going to start with the fish.
He's actually the sauce. Don't let him fool you.
Hey.
Can't change your handle, bro.
He is a fish.
Give us your favorite lines and scenes.
Come on, fish sauce.
Okay, so my first favorite scene. Yeah, he goes to his child's birthday party, gives her this little toy. It's supposed to be a teddy bear. Actually, it's supposed to be a rabbit, I think, because it has two ears. But its face is just all like...
It's a mangled, crazy rabbit.
Yes, with the like red eyes. And
it's got
sharp teeth and like, you're my bestest friend. And that's actually how it did. I don't care if you don't understand exactly how to.
No, that's fine. That's totally fine.
Also, Butthead.
Oh.
Butthead.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for censoring it.
Okay, you say
we censored it.
Okay, you say it.
You just said that. You said that.
Said a better word. I said that.
Hey, so Scott just standing there after he invited his friends over. And Dave.
Yes.
And he's like, it's not funny being here.
Oh, after the... Okay, this is the scene where they have been invited back into Dr. Pym's house after they robbed... After they burgled.
Yes. And then Dave, like, funny, you invite us back in after we burgled you.
Right.
And Hank says, I let you burgle me. And then Dave says, well, we'll get there. I let you let me burgle.
We'll get say, I let you let you.
Right. Any other favorite scenes or parts, Sauce?
Oh, okay. Yes, one more.
One more.
Oh, well, same scene. When Scott is talking to Hope. Hope's like, this dude got arrested for stealing a smoothie machine. And then, well. And says two smoothies.
All right, Furious Girl, let's give us some favorite lines and scenes.
Yay. So it's the same as Willis's first one with the rabbit bunny thing. And, I'm going to be the voice of the girl. He's so ugly! I love him! And then, also, same as Willis's, I can't remember his name, but it's the dude who got arrested for stealing two smoking with him.
Oh, yeah, Luis.
Oh, and he said, your girlfriend is really hot.
I'm nervous. His girlfriend's really hot. It makes me even more nervous. He gets all flustered. It's so funny. Any other favorite scenes and lines?
I've got a few. This one might be stealing from you. Baskin Robbins always finds out, bro.
Yeah!
Well, I'm surprised he doesn't even throw that. Okay. Because, and the manager is like, Baskin Robbins always finds out. And then Louise's like, Baskin Robbins always finds out.
Bro, Baskin Robbins always finds out.
I thought about trying to get in touch with the Baskin Robbins, going to record this there, but, that would have been, like, the worst sound ever, because it would have been ricocheting off all the walls and tile floor. And
yeah.
So maybe we'll go get some Baskin-Robbins and homage. Love the lip sync edits. Love the, there's both series of that one at the beginning, kind of toward that first act, and then one at the very end. I really love the whole first time Scott tries on the suit. Just his intro to it, and, you know, he's like, oh my gosh, what is happening? And he's, like, trying to just stomach the fact that he's tiny. And he's going through all this, you know, exploration of that. And then I want to make a point here, too. We were talking with someone today who was saying that, like, another Avengers movie, Guardians of the Galaxy, well, the language in there. And I'm like, you know what? The language is pretty much the same in this movie. Different feel.
Yeah. I think there's a little bit more dirty sexual jokes.
In Guardians?
Yes. A lowbrow sexual jokes in Guardians.
Yeah.
We let our kids watch it because they hate that right now.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, you're so mean.
It's true.
Because the other line I really like is like, it's like, you know, ready to turn your life around. It's like, yes, I am so ready. I am done breaking in places and stealing. What do you want me to do? I need you to break in a place and steal some. He's like, all right then. And so I really like that delivery. That was great.
Right.
What about you?
I liked a lot. Howard Stark, keep your ass full set. You know, we want to see him do when he has a suit on. So it started off like that, where it was serious, because we see that we now know, as long as you've seen Winter Soldier and Age of Ultron, you don't have to see Age of Ultron, as long as you've seen Winter Soldier and know that Hydra was in S.H.I.E.L.D. the entire time, and that two-thirds of the three people that were confronting Hank, or Hank was confronting, were S.H.I.E.L.D.,
yeah.
One-third was Hydra.
Mm-hmm.
Once you figure that out, you can kind of see that it's actually a pretty serious thing. There's a spy in there. He's trying to destroy the world, really, with this, you know, Hank Pym particle. I do like Falcon. I really appreciate it. Cap, it means a lot to me that if Cap never finds out about this. Things like that. A couple of other lines that I really, really liked were real small little things. And more of the favorite scenes in mind is when, before they go into their final robbery plan to destroy the Yellow Jacket suit, which was going to be purchased by ex-Hydra to take over the world, basically. He goes, and this is his daughter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he sees her because he had to, because he was like, may never come back. He was doing this on purpose. I thought that the scenes of Michael Douglas being overly protective and emotional were spot on. One thing about some of the big stars in superhero movies, can be said, in the past, is that sometimes they mail it in.
Mm.
You know, it's like, oh, here's this here. Glenn Close kind of comes to mind.
No.
Guardians.
Come on.
She was kind of mailing it in.
No.
I felt she was kind of mailing it in.
Okay.
And she said she was doing this only to really make, and she, this is a quote that she did, that she was only doing Guardians of the Galaxy so she can afford to do the smaller, more artistic movies. But I was really having a lot of fun. So she wasn't really into it. Michael Douglas saw that he had a chance to do something really, really fun and did it. And in his interviews, he is into it. He's delivering his lines. He's trying to protect his daughter, just like Scott's trying to protect his daughter,
mm-hmm.
his family. Is most important. That's probably why I like it so much. The family is more important than anything else, really.
Right.
And he loses his temper, but won't tell her why he's losing his temper with it. And just like, you just see the desperation mm-hmm. in his outburst. I mean, absolute desperation. He's got heartbroken, and he comes out into this one. I just thought it was really, really well done. One of the things I would like to say is, when Hank is kind of introducing Scott to whatever is going on, I'm Hank Pym, this is Hope, and, you know, we've been watching it for a while. He kind of says a couple of lines where he's been spying on, like, he probably has a little ant, like, in his hair or something.
Like, oh, I'm sorry, burgled.
Right. The exact same lines that Scott was saying,
mm-hmm.
exact same things that he was doing, just following him everywhere. It's like, how many places does Hank have ants? Or, you know, things like that. You could see everything, mm-hmm. know everything was going on. I thought those things were really good. Go ahead, Sauce.
I quote from Hank Pym. Do you know how many ants there are?
Right. This is 247. Do you know how many ants there are? They're numbered, not names.
Well, and you brought up a good point, too. I wrote this down. I think this might be our first superhero in the Avengers lineage here that has a child. Is that right?
Right. Because, well...
Okay.
Hawkeye does have kids. You're right. Willis, good catch.
Good catch. Tony might have kids.
Please don't tell me there's a 13-year-old in your car.
Yeah, we all know why that
is. Yes, we do.
Yeah. There's a lot of good one-liners. The Luis voiceover flashbacks are the best.
They're really good.
You know, but I didn't memorize them. I didn't have time to write them all down, so I'm not going to go over them.
Superpowers.
Okay, let's do that.
Woo! Who's first?
I chose Mike.
I know you choose me, but let's Sauce go first. I'm advocating. My first.
He wants to wait a minute, Georgia. It's okay.
I need to wait.
Chris, superpowers, got. I'm talking about his, like, natural powers. Apparently, engineering came easy to him. Like,
he has a master's in electrical engineering.
He's a smart dude.
So when he saw the suit, he's like, what is this? He was very curious about it.
I think him a little hard at Scott's level. And also, right. And Scott would probably normally understood the suit.
Right, he's an electrical engineer. It looks like Scott was more of the on-hand technical smarts, for sure. Very quick on his feet. And Hank was the theoretical mm-hmm. genius.
Yeah. So I wrote down, obviously, Ant-Man suit's a superpower. I think Scott, he has some more strengths than Hank Pym because he personalizes the ants. He calls the flying ant Antony instead of, like, number 253 or whatever he is.
247.
247.
247.
Also, this came up. So, you know, you've got, at the very end, you know, you've got Yellow Jacket, a suit, a little more powerful suit, actually, than Scott's is. You're like, oh, no, now they're kind of even. But they're not, because Hank has developed the technology to control ants. And that is not something that, what's-his-face? Darren Cross. It's not something Darren Cross is able to do. So, if you ask me, they're always going to have an upper hand in that because he had developed the technology to control ants the way Hank and then Scott are able to do.
Right. To springboard off of that, Hank Pym, I was never a big comic book reader of Ant-Man or anything like that, could control the ants. Super genius. Worked with Stark and the Avengers a lot. In the comics, anyway. But
And in the movie, because...
Oh yeah, they were. He was in S.H.I.E.L.D. for sure, and he was on a mission when he lost his wife, and he was being sent to, you know, counter Hydra at that point. Little they didn't know that it was Hydra. But I agree that Scott's superpower in the suit is a lot like Iron Man's, of course, right? Mm-hmm. It's a suit, so you better suit up. Even, you know, Cap says it at one point or anything. But he also has very physically fit parkour abilities.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, he can think on his feet. He's quick intellectually, I would say. And to differ from Hank, Hank was a little bit more methodical in his approach and everything.
Yeah.
And Scott's a little bit more...
Daring?
Daring. I think that daring would be a good word. And that's probably what I was looking for. A little bit more...
Are you thinking of, like, the scene where he goes to the Avengers facility and Hank probably would have aborted the whole thing and Scott's like, nah, I can do this.
Right.
And he does
right.
it.
Exactly. And he goes up against Falcon and actually, you know, does well with that.
And doesn't die.
It doesn't die and actually wins.
Remember, that's cool.
It was a good thing that Cap never found out about that. It was really important. But that's what I was thinking. Yeah, abort this. And when he's in the control basement, whatever he has there, he's like, he's going to lose the suit. And Hope's like, he's going to lose his life. He's kind of lost track of what's really important.
Yeah.
Because he lost something so important to him, he's kind of lost his way.
Yeah.
And Scott is only doing this because he knows what's important in his life. That's his daughter and his family.
That's right.
So they're coming from two opposite ways, and they're going to intersect. I'm looking forward to the next movie a lot. I think it's going to be really good.
Yeah.
It's the first Marvel movie with a female character in the title.
About that time.
After this, we will go to villains, but what is Furious Girl's take on superpowers?
I see what you wrote.
It can shrunk.
Shrink?
Yes.
You need to state so we can understand it in the microphone.
And he's smart.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Let's talk about Cross the villain, Yellow Jacket.
Ugh.
So we don't see him as the Yellow Jacket until the end. But he's definitely the villain throughout the whole movie.
Oh, yeah.
And he's the villain insofar as when he starts off, he's just a...
swaggering business...
Hello.
Scientist.
A business pirate, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, a very cold, calculating corporatist. And... immoral. But then we see him after he introduces the Yellow Jacket at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Murder somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, with a
without the fittest, least bit of regret.
Yep, just kind of does it like, nah, I need you out of my way.
No right. hesitation.
Like, none. None. And he planned it. It was planned out. He had it there. And fun fact. So the guy gets put into jelly. That was actually raspberry jelly.
It is? Oh, I thought it was like a human fluff.
It's what it represents, but the special effects couldn't find anything. They just took a pit of Smuckers or whatever it was, or, you know, probably some Trader Joe's organic
generic.
Reserves, whatever, and then just kind of did a teaspoon down on the ground, and, oh, huh, look at that.
He's dead.
So you could eat it, and then he's dead. Just like well, safer.
Time. I love eating human body parts that are minimized.
When they're minimized, maybe. Only through the mini surgery degree. But, so we see him, he's a calculating, jilted,
yeah.
apprentice, smart. So he was Hank Pym's apprentice, so he was definitely up there in intellect, up there in his theory and what he could do as far as taking Pym Tech forward. I think he was very well developed. He had a backstory. He's like, you know, he kind of jerked us both around. He's talking to Hope. He jerked us both around. He was there for you, wasn't there for me. Why wouldn't you give this to me? What's going on? How can I... He's being continually feeling jilted about this, and you see this.
Mm-hmm.
So you can just see why he's going there. And then we find out that the particle that can make Ant-Man small also affects your neural chemistry.
Mm.
What does neural chemistry mean, Sauce?
His name is Dave.
Your nerves.
Right.
Your brain.
That's right.
And his name is Dave, just so you know. And also your nose as well.
It can affect your nose because your nose is smaller.
And it affects your toes.
Because everything's smaller. But then it can definitely take a toll. It takes a toll on Hank. So, and he says, and he's not the most stable guy to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So then he's around this particle. He's in this particle. And he just loses his mind. It goes completely bonkers.
Yep.
So well done. I think it was very well done. I think he's an underrated villain for sure. And the fact that they had just purchased Star Wars, Disney did, and they were using Lucasfilm Star Wars
they were.
Sound effects for the lasers. Pew,
pew, pew, yeah, pew. It was actually...
It was AT-AT lasers.
It wasn't.
Which one was it?
It was TIE Fighter.
TIE Fighter lasers?
Very good. That's what I thought
of. I'm pretty sure they used a couple of different ones from Star Wars.
They definitely were Star Wars-y.
Yes. And I held off on this favorite scene. Favorite scene when they're on the Thomas the Tank Engine train.
Oh, that is so
fighting
funny.
Each other. And they're like, and it's all this special effects, and, bah, 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 and the eggs are coming up, and you're throwing trains at it. And then he pan back, and it's just like, falls over. It's like,
that was pretty funny. You're like, oh, that's right. They're down on scale.
I think one of the other favorite things, I should have mentioned in my favorite scene, is when the daughter was like, I hope you don't catch him, to her soon-to-be stepdad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who plays it pretty well.
Yeah.
I think they kind of made him a little too slow on the uptake a little bit. I think they could have made him a little more quippier, like as far as like what's going on, maybe. But they were limited.
But they also needed to make him pretty different than Scott. And that they did a good job with
very much different. He's very focused on his job. He's not a bad guy, but he's an adversary because Scott's on the wrong side of the law. A lot like Cap is in Civil War.
The law.
So, as far as the villain goes, what do you think, Sauce?
I think the jack hat.
Okay.
So he's a donkey hat.
Jack hat.
Did you like it as a villain, or did you think it was just like, whatever?
He's a beefing piece of beef.
Okay.
And not a good villain.
You didn't think it was, okay.
We talked about this while we were watching it. They really tried to make you sure you knew he had no heart. He would do whatever he needed to do, because they bring in a little lamb in. You remember the cute little lamb? And they bring him in, and she's like, why aren't we using rats? He's like, what's the difference? You know, and so then, you know, allegedly, like, you know, destroys this lamb and brings, let's bring in the next one, and Hope is just visibly like, oh my god.
Yeah, the guy is cruel. So what do you think about the yellow jacket? What do you think about the suit, kids? First.
That was cool.
The suit?
So nonplussed. The kids were nonplussed. I was not impressed by the suit. I really liked the in the briefcase and disintegration comes on. I mean, disintegrate you.
That was really funny.
Right? Disintegration. he is just shooting anybody that's in his helicopter without even thinking about it.
And you think, I mean, he would have totally shot, he would have shot Cassie, and he would have shot the stepdad, and he would have been like, whatever, I'm mad at you. Yep.
Just unwittingly, he would have destroyed himself, too, I think.
Yeah.
Just because he was so over the top on that one. The opposite of Scott.
I think that Scott probably, like, in front of a bomb would explode and kill everyone.
Yep. He was that reckless.
And he would try to be like, yes, he totally died.
It was pretty reckless. What do you think about the villain?
Yeah, she gave it a blip. I'm pretty sure that means eh or eh.
No, it means
okay.
Half hour screen time. Ooh, me.
Alright.
Zelda, Overwatch, or something else. I'm not sure.
It's going to be Zelda or Overwatch.
Maybe. Zelda.
What about you, Zelda?
Zelda.
Zelda. What about you?
I don't get a half hour time. I got maybe 8 minutes a week.
I can't.
Well, yeah, you.
I'm gonna watch Coco tonight. And
you're
gonna
watch Coco, and you and I might try to squeeze in like half of one of the Jessica Jones episodes, season 2.
Yeah, that was a so long mid credit scene,
which was
end credit scene.
Okay, so to be Joe,
describe the mid credit scene though. What was it? Do you remember?
No, but I know what I gave
it. So mid credit scene was. When Hank takes Hope down to the basement to a secret compartment, apparently has
hair. Oh, yeah, that's what it was. And then the end was...
Wait a minute. We're still doing mid-credit.
We're just mid-credits. Mid-credits.
So, and then he shows her the Wasp outfit.
Yeah.
The Wasp suit, which he's basically saying, you know what, he's green-lighting finally that her she can suit. Go and have her own suit and do adventures. What?
I would like to point out that was one of the boring and, like... not very good mid/end credit scenes I've ever seen.
Okay, you didn't like it.
What about you? What did
she loved it.
You I liked gave it a 9 out of 10.
Yeah. What about so you? The girls liked it.
I liked it. I gave it an 8 out of 10.
Yeah, but it's still my turn for the end.
Well, Dan still got to do mid-credit.
I thought it was okay. You know, just seeing at the end. Very end credit scene, though. So what do you guys think about that scene? That's an actual scene from the next movie.
Yeah. So, talk to her.
It's when the Falcon and Captain America have trapped Bucky with his metal arm inside of something. I don't know.
A vice.
And they talk and things. And then in the scene of the next movie, Civil War, that Dave will be driving. And I gave it an OMG.
What do you think about the end scene? The very end scene. Not the mid scene, the end scene. Bucky.
I think that was pretty cool since it was an actual scene from the next movie, and I'd like to point out that was like a whole few engines on top of Bucky's arm.
It was a giant industrial press. You guys haven't seen the original Terminator, but that's kind of what that was. It was something to crush metal into flat. And yeah. He was just holding his arm there.
Yep.
Just holding him there is basically what it was. And he needed a giant, probably 50-ton press just to hold him down.
Yeah, probably.
So I really liked it. I really liked both of them. I thought the middle one was just okay. Edwin was amazing. And the fact that it was an actual scene from it, we started seeing that. We see it again in Doctor Strange, where mm-hmm. it's just a scene from the next movie.
Yep.
We have had directors come out, like Joss Whedon did it for Captain America, the first Avenger, and also for the ones right before the Avengers. Joss Whedon came in and directed an end credit scene that went into that movie.
Thor.
It was
Thor. Thor.
Yeah,
I mean,
Thor
it was
Dark World.
Yeah. It was that would have been Iron Man 2, I think.
Yeah, it's one of those, like that, whatever. One of those. He came in for the Avengers ones and filmed a scene that wasn't in the movie. This one, they're able to take a scene that's being filmed and just tag it onto the end without having to add something different to it because they're all just being more linear.
Yeah.
Same thing happened with Taika Waititi for Thor Ragnarok. So definitely a really good deal. Overall rating.
Oh, yay!
I have...
He has
you're
going to
measure, but you're going to try.
9 out of 10
teaspoons of raspberry jam.
Oh!
That's why I made sure I said the trivia.
Gotcha.
I gave it...
It's the Data Bites, by the way.
Data Bites. 9 out of 10 teaspoons of raspberry jam.
Wow. Okay.
Jeff?
I gave it a 7 out of 10 teaspoons of raspberry jam.
And finally, Dave.
I gave it...
We're going to call that an 8.
Zero, we're going to round zero, that to 8.
1.
Which is rounded to 8.
3.1.
Anyway.
Just go.
Anyway, so he had 8 teaspoons of raspberry jam. So overall, we really liked the movie. And I would like to point out Lady Disdain was like, well, I don't know. And then she laughs every time.
It's fine. It's just not. It's not my tip top. I feel like this is our first superhero in the Avengers lineup that starts out as a criminal. Is it? Because I know I had a couple first observations. I mean, he's obviously not the only one with a kid, but that he seems like he's the first one. I mean, he's coming fresh out of jail. You know what I mean?
True. And they got that whole scene in there where he's got the ritual. Oh, my celly! You know, the underground nature of his life. Okay.
Yeah.
And what he did was very Robin Hood-esque.
Yes.
Right? So he's a criminal in the sense that Robin Hood was a criminal.
Right. And exactly. But, I mean, yeah. He's an ex-con.
Yeah.
Who's coming in to be a superhero.
True. Now Cap and all those, they're all ex-cons. Or they're all criminals, if you will.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's not like...
Well, what about Star-Lord?
So I did write that down because I said, is he the first superhero who starts out as a crook or as a, you know, as a... you know, smarmy individual, and I did write down Star-Lord saying, well, no, he's a Ravager who probably is looked at like, oh, you're a like, kind of a vulture. He just goes and picks things
runs
up.
Runs amiss of the law.
Yeah, so that was the only one I could think of that would be kind of remotely like in the same vein.
I know.
But that's, I wrote that down. I thought that was an interesting,
That is interesting. Very interesting.
Thank you.
It really is.
I try.
So we're going to talk about a little bit of box office and about the context of everything that was going on in 2015. So this came out in July 17, 2015. It only did $57 million in its opening.
So not very big.
Yeah.
Ant-Man was not a big deal.
No, it did $180 million domestically, mm-hmm. $519 globally. So it made money.
Yes.
It didn't make so much money that people were flying their jets across town just because they can. like Avengers or something. But it did well enough, was received well enough. Ant-Man and the Wasp is coming out this year, directed also by Peyton Reed.
Nice.
The same director.
Cool.
Hopefully the same writing crew, I'm not 100% sure.
Hopefully the same sidekicks, because those guys are great.
Oh yeah, they're definitely in it, for sure. But the director has done a lot of television, a lot of funny, comedies lately. Worked on a Weird Al television show. So he is a comedy director first, it seems. Ant-Man and the Wasp will be coming out July 6th of this year.
Oh, that's an expensive summer for us, man.
Oh, man.
Unless somebody out there decides we are worthy to get our movie tickets and paid for by you because you want us to do the podcast because we're so good, but we'll
right.
just keep buying. We went and got, what did we get today? We got tickets for.
Oh, man. We just dropped $60 on Infinity War for 4 tickets, non-3D, matinee prices.
Yep, that was for the 4 of us. We actually, Dad Abides and I, Lady Stain, are going to go see it the night before by ourselves, And then we're going to record the podcast the next day after seeing that movie with the kids, and that's that we're going to get that going.
Alamo Draft House can take kids after a certain time. No kids under 6. Our kids are over 6. But during the first show of the day, kids are, you know, allowed.
Yeah.
That might be our next one that we do, big one. It was way less expensive.
Yeah. And it's, you know, have like 17 previews.
No ads.
Yep.
It's a better environment. The seats do not recline. Keeps you awake and involved in the movie. Next movie we are going to be reviewing is an old movie that came out a while back called Captain America Civil War.
Woohoo!
One of the best cinematic Marvel Universe movies. It's going to be high up on there. Also, until Infinity War comes out, the longest movie.
That's right.
So we're going to have to take naps and then watch.
I know, for everybody who's going to go see Infinity War, I hope you're planning, you're training your bladder in, you know, ahead of time so that you don't have to get up and go to the bathroom. That's honestly why we're going to see it first for the kids, because if in case they need to go to the restroom while we're in the viewing with them, we can say, okay, here's what you missed. We have to say, too, when this movie first came out, our daughter looked very similar to Cassie's character because she was missing her front teeth. So we're like, it's like Georgia.
Oh, a little bit.
It was very similar. Well, thank you for listening, and don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. We would love it if you'd leave a review there, because that helps people find the podcast, and also lets us know what you think. And remember, you can visit us at unpause.com. You can mail us at P.O. Box 1343, Englewood, Colorado, 80150.